If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
Tell somebody you've been here long enough. Tonight we share the Lord's Supper. We will gather this evening at 6 o'clock to say thank you to Jesus for the nails, the spear, the thorn, the cross, the pain, and the blood. Now, whether you know it or not, there are two ordinances that Jesus left the church that in the Greek, they are commands. One is water baptism. You are commanded to be baptized if you are saved. You don't have an option. If you're saved, you're supposed to be baptized. I know some of you are apostolic. You want to go down in his name according to Acts 2:38. Fine. I will baptize you in his name. Then there are those of you that are extremely Pentecostal. You're of the Matthew theory. You want to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Your problem there is that he does not name them. He just says you're baptized in their name. But if that's what you like, I'll baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not relevant as long as Jesus is in there. But you need to be baptized. But you have to be saved before you're baptized. Or else you'll go in a dry sinner and come out a wet hypocrite. So we don't want that. The second ordinance that he left was Holy Communion. In fact, that one he's very clear. This do in remembrance of me. The do is in the imperative. If you study the word of God, you will find anything that's in the imperative, you don't have a choice. To avoid it is disobedience. Now, some people just put it in their mind, I'm not coming back, I'm not going to take communion. All I can do is tell you. Ezekiel says, if I warn you and you listen, you'll be all right. But if I warn you and you don't listen, it's not up to me. Communion is not an option. You don't just, oh, well, I ain't taking it. It's not an option. He said, this do in remembrance of me. In fact, it goes a little further and says, as often as you do it, you do show forth my suffering until I come back for you. In fact, one of the reasons that people, what we call in Pentecost, backslide is because they lose sight of what Jesus did for them. When you really look at it, most people who have decaying relationships do so because they lose sight of what the other person has been to them. It's just taking each other for granted. You remember the flame you had when you first started connecting that's kind of gone down to just a little smoldering ember? Well, I can guarantee you it's because you're taking each other for granted. You're not doing the things to make your companion happy anymore. In fact, you don't really care. You figure, well, they just ought to take what I give them and be happy. You're headed for a separation. Now, I do not subscribe to the theory that we need to go and have these classes that tell women, you know, to put on teddies and boil oil and all this other mess. I don't think that's significant to holding on to the significant other. But I do believe that there ought to be an increase in knowledge. In fact, Peter tells husbands to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. So that meant that the bride that you married is not the wife that you have. That's why you preface your argument with, had I known. So you just need to settle in on the fact that the bride that stood beside you, they go through an evolution. The moment the words, I now pronounce you husband, is, oh, that's it, it's done. They become somebody else. On the way down, it was, honey, I love you, whatever you say. But on the way back, it's, get up here. Come on up here and walk with me. Stand up here straight. You know right then, you pray like, Jesus, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But it comes because we don't know. Now, I say this because we really don't know the significance of Holy Communion, and the enemy comes in to anesthetize us to its significance, and we just decide we're not coming. But in the economy of God, Holy Communion is just as vital as your trek to the altar. When you come to the altar, it's in response of the election. When you take communion, it's to remember what he did. The first step in backsliding is given to us in Matthew's gospel, where it says, Peter followed from afar. When you decide I ain't taking communion, then you're following from afar. I know when I'm telling the truth because the silence over... Listen to me very carefully. When I was a child, my brother and I, we didn't play much with our sister because you know how boys and girls are. You know, Jackie kind of oversaw the process. And Gary and I would play, and we had these little army men. You know, it was about 25 years ago. And we had these little army men. And the army men in those days, you could buy a whole box of them for a few dollars. And Mama would get the whole box, and we would play our little army men. And we had a penchant for just leaving our army men wherever we were playing. And Mama would say, around certain times, she would say, your father's coming home. Get those men up off the floor. And we, in our youthful rambunctiousness, we would leave them there because we felt we had time. We did not take into consideration traffic, or maybe traffic was flowing smoothly. My dad, being a union carpenter, would work sometimes down in Center City. And so he could come home faster or whatever. And so Gary and I would just leave our army men scattered on the floor. Now, Mama was not a preacher who preached the same message twice. Mama would tell you what thus saith the Lord, and then walk off, and then she'd go about her responsibilities of cooking and making things ready for Daddy to come home. And so Gary and I would ignore the warning, and we thought we had time. And next thing we heard was the door opening. Boy, we scrambled like Pentecostals, trying to get right before the rapture. We were picking up toys, and Mama would just hear us scrambling from the kitchen, and she would yell, see, it serves you right. And Daddy would come in, and our toys would be scattered, and we would look up at him as if to ask for mercy. And he would say, didn't your mother tell you to pick those things up? And chastisement was sure to come. Jesus illustrates it in this fashion. He said, there were some virgins, And five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. And the wise ones kept a little oil, kind of in a secret place, which lets you know they were us, because we have food stored. That's why, as a people, we weren't worried about Y2K. We were all right. We were hoping that the banks did lose all the records, and we weren't worried about food. You don't find too many of us shopping in anticipation of a storm, because we have 36 cans of stuff already put away, because we never know when somebody going to come by the house and you can't get rid of them. And so so Jesus said there were five virgins and they kept some extra oil. And the foolish ones were running out, and they went over to the five smart ones, and they said, let us borrow some from you. And they said, absolutely not, because if we give it to you, then we won't have enough when the bridegroom comes. And so Jesus said that's exactly what happened. The bridegroom came without anybody knowing when he was coming, and the foolish virgins were trying to run around and tap Mac and get some oil, and they couldn't. And the wise one said, we can't give you ours, so I only have enough for me. Now, while we do not translate that into the rapture, it does translate into being ready when he comes. In fact, the prophet Amos said, prepare to meet him. And so here is the esoteric question God leaves with me. If you know when I'm coming, how do you want me to find you? I never answer that question. And I know most of us would love to be preaching or doing Sunday school or so. The fact of the matter is, for most of us, when Jesus comes, we're going to be doing something we should not be doing because we're human. That's why it's called grace and mercy. And so we're going to stand before him, according to Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and there our works will be evaluated. Wouldn't it be terrible to stand before him, having served in a number of ministries with a long list of accomplishments, only to have what Paul says, all of the things that we've done that were good, the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, the good stuff, compared against the wood, hay, and stubble, the bad stuff. Wouldn't it be horrible to see that those rewards from the good side are eradicated because we simply chose to exercise our selfish will and say, I ain't coming back to communion. And the Lord says, oh, disobedience, oh, disobedience. Now, I know in the dispensation of grace, we believe that God has removed judgment for improper behavior and an improper response to his word, but that's wrong. That is wrong. For some reason, we have more of a tortoise mindset that whenever something negative happens to us, we revert back into our shell. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to deal with people. Somebody has hurt me. Somebody has poked me. And I know in grade school, we used to the guys used to intentionally touch that little turtle so he could pull back in the shell because we loved seeing the little turtle go back into the shell. We did strange things. We used to put the pencil in the cage so that the little wheel wouldn't move when the hamster was running. I didn't do it. I saw who did, but I know it was. And the teacher would come over and she would chastise the ones that did it, and she would hit them in the hand with a ruler because they were keeping the hamster from doing what he was designed to do. You were designed for fellowship. Listen carefully. This is going to shock you. You were not designed for marriage. You were designed for fellowship. Marriage is a byproduct, but you were designed for fellowship. That's why the Bible is full of one anothering, but it's not full of husbands and wives. There are only a few verses that deal with husbands and wives, and the instructions given are not things that we want. But the one anothering is a consistent teaching. You were designed for fellowship, and the enemy is trying to pull you from fellowship. He's trying to separate you from fellowship. And so communion is one way of fellowship. It is something so significant that Jesus dismissed Judas because he could not share in it. He gave him the sop, and the Bible said when he took the sop, Satan entered into him. For the deep people among us, it's called the doctrine of interpenetration, where after he took the sop, the dipped bread, Satan went inside of Judas, and Satan's will became Judas's will, and Satan's mind became Judas's mind. And Jesus said, now you got to go because you have no part of communion. And that's what he's saying to you when he tells you not to come. He's telling you, you have no part. When he saw that the Christian would not stop it, he enters into Corinth and says, take it every day, but pervert it and make it dinner. And that's why Paul had to correct it and say, you got houses to eat in. But when you come together for communion, you tarry one for another, and you understand that this is to commemorate what Jesus did.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3418P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.